Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle working business, beloved. Well, I'd like to share today a few thoughts on the subject of the anointing, and I'd like to read a couple of scriptures found in the New Testament. And this is 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, which says, "Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And also 1 John, that second chapter, starting at verse 27, the word says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him," this is referencing to everyone who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, "the anointing which ye've received of him abideth in you," lives, stays with you, "and ye need not that any man should teach you." However, God, that does not mean God did away with teachers, of course, fivefold ministry. But as the same, it's talking about a personal relationship, daily relationship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. "But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Praise God. And then I'd like to read that beloved Psalm, Psalm 23, that David expressed. And he was talking. He knew the anointing. He understood it. And in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is talking spiritually now. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Why could he write that? He knew what that meant as a shepherd boy. The beauty, the solitude, the silence, the quietness of herding and tending sheep. "He maketh me to be lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Sheep have got to have still waters. They're afraid of you know, waves and rushing rivers and things like that. "Yea, though he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." That's a spiritual picture there. "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise God. So as I shared that scripture in 1 John, that anointing we received abides within us, it's a vast subject in scripture, but we know that the uses of anointing oil under the Old Testament, which was, of course, it was a holy, sacred oil that was compounded according to certain requirements and components that was not to be duplicated. It represents the anointing that we have received today. In fact, we do use anointing oil. It says, "Anoint the sick, pray for them. If they committed any sin, calling the elders of the church, it shall be forgiven them." That's a sign, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And there were various uses. It was a sacred oil under the Old Covenant, and even in the New Testament, it was, you know, calling the elders of the church, anointing with oil. That has been an aspect of and a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it was not allowed under the Old Covenant to be used for anything not sacred, if you will. And so I'd like to just share some thoughts on the anointing. And as we talked about that elders are to pray for the sick, anointing them with oil, of course, we all have that privilege of doing that, laying hands on the sick, they shall recover. The practical ministry of true healing Yes, it's not just the anointing of all, but it happens through love and understanding and prayer to one whose heart is broken or wounded or physically hurt or sick. And when a person's whole being, their spirit, their mind, their will, emotions, and body respond positively to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, that's, if you've experienced God's anointing, you know and understand what I'm talking about. It's hard to phrase it in words, but we're to be what? Sensitive and obedient to those, to the Holy Spirit, to that anointing, to those inward leadings that the Holy Spirit would give us. And they never contravene or contradictory to the Word of God. And the anointing, it, as we grow in maturity, there's an inward sensing, if you will, through the Spirit that perhaps as a minister, there's specific spiritual or physical needs in a congregation, in a church service, or as they would minister to them. And these are just some very general descriptions of the anointing, but it gives us the essence, if you will, which spontaneously follows the leading of the Spirit, which always and always will just glorify Jesus Christ. And if anyone does something which really doesn't glorify Jesus, then it's not the genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit. It never draws attention to self. What are some of the practical ramifications? Well, you won't be given to gossip or division, to accuse the brethren without cause, or to call, you know, say there's sin in the camp as a way of attacking leadership or individuals. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. People who engage in slander or gossip or false witness or accusations, basically, they're attempting to divide the flock, to pull the sheep away from the fellowship of the saints. Someone like that's not being led of the Spirit. Obviously, they, you know, God hates those that sow division in the body. That's Proverbs, you know, seventh thing God hates. He hates that, those that sow division. In fact, anyone that would do that, they're no longer being a soldier of the cross, but rather a soldier that is being inspired and dominated by Satan. And 2 Corinthians tells us of that spiritual anointing which the Holy Ghost is conferred upon Christians. It's by the Lord, and that anointing expresses, if you will, the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit upon believers, upon Christians, those of us who are priests and kings unto God, according to what Revelation says in that first chapter, verse 6, He's made us kings and priests unto our God, washed us in His own blood. 1 John 2:20 states that we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And of course, Psalm 23, He leads us beside still waters. That's representing waters of rest. He restores my soul, or life, if you will. And He quickens us. He anoints us with oil in the presence of our enemies. Even though there might be demonic attacks against us, God is still, He spreads a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Nothing is going to harm you, beloved. You're walking with God. You don't have to fear any evil, for He is with you. So under the anointing, God's people are quickened. They're made alive spiritually. You come to life. You revive spiritually. You're spiritually quickened, if you will. That's the word. You're stimulated or kindled. And that also means to cause to burn more intensely, to hasten or accelerate, to enter into a stage of active growth and development, to shine more brightly. To anoint also means to rub over with an oily substance, with oil, for example, as to apply oil as in a sacred rite. And when we speak of a person, when we call them anointed, basically what we're saying is we're recognizing that that person is called of God, is consecrated to God, that God is using them for His express purposes. So when we are consecrated, we've been dedicated to God for His purposes. We've been made holy in character and fit for His spiritual use, and we're set apart from the world for God's pleasure and service. So the anointing of God's Spirit is the overflowing, if you will, of Messiah's divine life of holiness into a human life, which has been consecrated to God through a personal dedication and also through the personal experience is taking up our cross, if you will, which Jesus said we have to go through. It is someone that's been spiritually rich and enlightened and able to impart effectively the light and fragrance of God's word into the lives of others, producing in them a deep spiritual satisfaction and Christian fruitfulness. Praise God. Hallelujah. How precious is our God. Amen. In Acts, the third chapter, verses 6 through 8, remember Peter and John were just simply going into the temple to worship, and there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb sitting there, and he asked, was hoping that he could get something, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." He was talking about the anointing. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leapt up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Beloved, as we bring this broadcast to a close, let me take a few moments and asking the Lord that anointing which you received, may God stir it up in you and cause you to walk in a freedom from the oppression of the enemy. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. We thank you for that anointing which abides and remains within us. Father, you see your people. And Father, I pray right now that, as you said in Isaiah, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And so right now, I destroy in the name of Jesus the yoke of bondage, the yoke of weariness, of oppression and depression the enemy would bring. And I release, Father, the strength of the Lord, the anointing of God to quicken physical bodies, to heal, Lord, and to deliver from oppressions of the enemy, all the manner of emotional and mental battles that have come against your people. I bind and rebuke them, and I loose, Father, the very anointing which remains in them to rise up, and Lord, that they shall resist the enemy, knowing that he is going to flee from before them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this work. All glory to your name. Beloved, it's been a joy to minister to you today and every time we get together. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.